Diverted, a 10-part off-the-ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous and police will use tear gas.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus!
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' best so far list of 2025.
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route of 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route of 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route of 25 is somehow even lonelier.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. We're with you until 10 o'clock this evening and kicking things off at 7:30 with Brian Malloy, who is the president of the Camogie Association. So he's been out issuing a rallying cry this week ahead of the All-Ireland finals this weekend, this Sunday in Croke Park. The association is targeting a record attendance of 40,000 at headquarters this weekend. So we'll speak to him from 7:30. At 8 o'clock then, we'll be speaking to Jonathan Wilson about the Darwin Nunez, Benjamin Sesko and Alexander Isak transfer stories, which I guess are all in some way intertwined. There's a little bit of a carousel going on there. And also that hour, we'll play you a sit-down between Nathan Murphy and Stephen Kenny. They were in conversation out in Tala earlier on. That is going to play host to St. Pat's against Besiktas tomorrow night in the Conference League. And then after 9 o'clock, the latest episode of our Settle-In series is coming your way with former Leitrim hurler Zach Moratti joining me in studio for an extended chat. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp. Cameron Hill is here for the News Round. Hello, Cameron.
Good evening, Owen.
And Richie McCormack is also here. Hello, Richie.
Owen, how are you?
Very well. So, if we were in any doubt, the Alexander Isak situation at Newcastle United is now officially a saga because there was a barbecue at the Newcastle training ground earlier today.
I was wondering where this was going. Okay.
And Alexander Isak was told to stay away from the barbecue. Now, I'm not an expert negotiator, nor have I ever been involved in a transfer dealing. However, would they not have been better off trying to coax this man back towards the club with a few finely grilled sausages?
What if they put a cap on what he was able to take from the barbecue?
Yeah.
It was like, you can have a sausage, but you may not have a burger. That kind of thing. You might be able to have some charred corn on the cob, but you, sir, are not getting any coleslaw to go with your wedgies.
Bet that corn tastes good, Alexander. Want a little bit more? Here's a contract.
It's like you say, it's become a saga. I increasingly find the whole thing very, very ugly, especially when you see this summer as being offset by the potential and looks like very likely going to the ground of Morecambe FC, the troubles of Sheffield Wednesday, and yet you have these £100 million transfers sloshing around and taking the interests and attentions of everybody when you've got real life clubs in danger of going to the wall. It's very much the case of the haves and the have nots, and I don't know if I've fully become comfortable with it. Also, the drip, drip, drip nature of this, like you mentioned, a saga. We know every aspect of this Isak move before it ever happens, or if it indeed does happen, because there even talk that Liverpool may be going for Bradley Barcola this evening from Paris Saint Germain. There's no surprise left in life.
No.
There's a great Tom Waits quote about wondering. It's like, I miss wondering. It's like, now everything's available at the touch of your fingertips, and in many ways society has never been dumber. But, you know, we've got all the information we can possibly have and we're not left wondering. There is the mere salvation of Luke de Jong, who rocked up at Porto without anybody knowing about it until he was introduced to the crowd at the weekend. They're like, oh, by the way, we've got a new signing. It's Luke de Jong. And everybody was like,
what?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't heard about this until now, but fine. Cool. Those days are gone, and I guess I missed the wondering.
There are no rabbits out of hats anymore, and we see that on Transfer Deadline Day on Sky Sports News, which has completely lost its appeal. But we should spare a thought for Newcastle United. Nobody wants to go to Newcastle anymore.
Yeah,
they're in a very, very sad situation, I mean, with the Saudi money sloshing around there. But
But is it?
Šeško is going to Manchester United, as it seems to be the case at this point. Doesn't want to go to Newcastle United. Other players who just don't want to go to Newcastle United that we've seen this summer. Mbeumo doesn't want to go there. Delap doesn't want to go there. João Pedro doesn't want to go there. James Trafford has turned down their advances. Hugo Ekitike has turned down their advances. I saw somebody putting together a starting 11 of players who have turned down Newcastle United this summer. I mean, if I had the ability to earn loads and loads of money, I might be forgiven for allowing the advances of Newcastle United and all that cash to take me there.
It just makes England's North East look very unattractive because Newcastle are playing Champions League football this coming season.
Yeah.
They have a pretty decent squad. Let's be honest, that's already there. You're Bruno Guimaraes, your Joe Linton's, their fullbacks of Tino Livramento and Lewis Hall are probably hard to beat across the entire Premier League. There is the nucleus. Sandro Tonali is one of the best midfielders in England. And yet, they're not able to add depth to this squad, which is going to be a real trouble and a real troubling aspect of them trying to even match what they did last season. It's going to be very, very difficult because everybody's moved ahead. But it basically just looks like nobody wants to go to Newcastle because all of the attractive elements are there that if you were to put those elements in a London club or perhaps in a Manchester club, they'd likely have no problems with attracting these kind of players. But somehow they do.
And the hilarious thing about this is that part of the Isak fund might be coming from Al Hilal, who will be taking Darwin Nunez to Saudi Arabia, potentially. So Newcastle United's owners are funding the Nunez move and by extension funding the Isak to Liverpool.
That's the question like that Newcastle fans have to be asking of their ownership, and whether or not you agree with Saudi ownership is probably a separate issue right now, because they clearly have other priorities, and those other priorities are funding the big beasts in the Saudi Pro League, your Al Hilals and so on. There's the fact that Newcastle haven't had I don't believe they have a director of football in place, or at least there's been some kind of flux in terms of who's actually running negotiations with transfers this summer. That's a problem. And if you have your owners distracted and looking elsewhere and throwing money at myriad other projects, whether it's NEOM or whether it's the entirety of the Live Golf scenario or whatever else boxing. It happens to be, boxing, they've got fingers in many pies, but they don't seem to be paying due attention to what seemed to be their primary investment, and now it's just become a kind of trinket. And that's the gamble with state ownership, is that at some point, it might be 2 years down the line, it might be 20, the owner's going to lose interest. And if they lose interest and decide that they can just keep going in a ghost ship style, then you're in trouble, because the longer you let that drift, as we've seen with poorer run clubs, the deeper the trouble you can get into. I don't think they're necessarily there just yet. They just would want to get somebody in there to kind of get their head behind the steering wheel because it's lacking.
Are you guys both making the Šeško move here, picking Manchester United over Newcastle? I'll put this to Jonathan Milton as well after 8 o'clock.
Manchester's meant to be lovely as well as a city. That's what I've heard.
So whereas Newcastle?
Not great.
The big market. Come on.
I think if
Jimmy Five Fellies.
If you've ever listened to a Sam Fender album, you wouldn't want to go to Newcastle after that. I think it sounds particularly unattractive.
I won't want to do many things if I listen to a Sam Fender album.
Yeah, I know. And I know your thoughts on Sam Fender.
Yeah. What do you do if you're a Newcastle fan? If there are any listening, I'd love to actually hear their views on this, because it just does seem that the hands are off the wheel.
Believe in Nicholas Jackson is the lesson.
That's a hell of a call. I don't know if people listening to us listen to Libro as well, that Jonathan Wilson also features on, without wanting to point them elsewhere. But he was pointing out that when Chelsea brought him in, he wasn't fit for purpose because he'd only played a handful of La Liga games before going to Chelsea in a big money move and being asked to be their number nine. He clearly wasn't up to it. Has he grown in that spell where he's been in and out of the Chelsea side, maybe not having the most confidence? Maybe he has. Maybe this turns out to be a hell of a buy, but I don't know. It's a bit of a step down from Alexander Isak.
Yeah, it certainly does. It seems that Jackson, Watkins, Gonzalo Ramos and Wissa are now the names being linked with Newcastle United. So more on that after 8 o'clock with Jonathan Wilson. We are edging ever closer to a brand new Premier League season, but that transfer saga is probably the most interesting storyline this week in the build-up to the Community Shield as well. Now, the news round is here with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. And you're going to start with the cricket today, Cameron.
Yeah, some news that just came in the last few minutes. Ireland have beaten Pakistan by 11 runs in the first of their three-match T20 International Series at Castle Avenue this evening. A stunning catch from captain Gabby Lewis for the ninth wicket in that one to all but seal the victory for Ireland there. They've only beaten Pakistan in four of 19 attempts at T20 level. So this is their fifth going into today. They, of course, got a series win back in 2022 against the same opposition. But a good start to the series.
Yeah, definitely. Good result against a traditional powerhouse.
Our cricketing nerd outside, Stephen Kisby Rain, informs me that Pakistan ain't all that. But I think, okay, regardless, to get a victory over the a country of the standing of Pakistan in terms of world cricket is nothing but a positive.
We are turning to matters closer to home in terms of the football stories anyway, Cameron.
Well, Shelburne have the chance to take another step towards league phase football in Europe tonight. The League of Ireland champions away to Croatian side Rijeka for the first leg of their third round clash in Europa League qualifying. And manager Joey O'Brien believes they need a balanced approach in tonight's game.
I see European football as four halves of football, away first, which hasn't been the case in the previous two rounds. Again, there's that feeling out of each other. You've seen enough video. The lads have seen enough video of them now at this stage and seeing who the individual players they're going to come up against and certain patterns they walk as a team and stuff like that. But again, you never really know until you're out on the pitch and you see the movements and you see how quick they are and stuff like that, you know. So there's going to be that moment of it. We obviously need to be on guard of that because I like to think we've learned before that you cannot give away moments in the start of the game, really, because otherwise it can turn into a long night. And yeah, it's about, obviously, as I said, making sure we're on guard in that first half. But again, I don't know if you're saying that, but for me, it's always about going forward. And if you have a game plan just sitting in and trying to survive for 90 minutes, I don't think it works like that, you know.
That's underway at 7:45 Irish time.
Now then, St. Pat's tomorrow night.
They've announced the signing of winger Jordan Garrick on the eve of that Conference League qualifier at home to Besiktas. Garrick comes to Richmond Park on a deal running until the end of this season. The 27-year-old has made over 130 appearances in English league football with spells at Swansea City, Plymouth Argyle and Forest Green. He adds firepower to a strong set of attacking options already for the Saints, linking up with the likes of Mason Melia. But manager Stephen Kenny feels that Melia still has areas that need improvement. He caught up with our own Nathan Murphy ahead of tomorrow night's game in Tala.
Yeah, he's still developing. You know, he's still developing his left foot, for example. Is not as strong as it could be. His heading ability can be inconsistent in the box. So these are things he's 17. But what he's got is an ability to turn defenders, take it in possession and turn inside or out and accelerate away from defenders and run past defenders with the ball, which you don't get that, you know, that's rare enough. So he uses speed to get away. He's a threat on the last line, running stretch defences, is an aggressive presser out of possession. He has good awareness. He knows he's a good player, which is, you know, helps as well. Yeah. You know, in terms of for big occasions and things like that, you know, it's important.
He's ready for it.
Yeah, like he's no doubt he's good enough. So, but it has aspects of his play that he needs to constantly work on to improve.
Right. Yeah, and we do have full live commentary of that game tomorrow night at Tala Stadium. That interview with Stephen Kenny, by the way, we're going to play out in full between around 8:30 and 9:00 on the show this evening. You'd have to give Shells a better chance of progressing, but obviously tomorrow night is the glamour tie from a European standpoint.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see. Like, we were going through that Besiktas squad in the office earlier in the week, and it's like, even before they add Wilfred and Didi, which looks like they will, but not in time for this tie, like, it's a hell of a squad, and St. Pat's would do well to be competing. The Shelburne one, I think we're passing over the main story in this, which is, you know, it's probably like you should see the ground that Luton are going to play Premier League football in. You've seen Rijeka's away end, have you, before this game?
No.
It's a cage. Yeah. It's literally like at one end of the ground, there is a cage with, I don't know, three, four, five tiers or, you know, steps of standing or seating or whatever. But you're shepherded in and you're locked in. And I don't know, somebody was telling me earlier on, you're breathalyzed before going into the ground as well to see if you're carrying a bit of booze on you. So you have to be well behaved and you have to, you know, perform behind the bars if you're singing your Shelburne songs tomorrow evening.
Right, straight to jail for those fans who are there. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, obviously, is manager of Besiktas coming to town. He is a man under pressure. They got hammered by Shakhtar Donetsk in the Europa League and the Europa League final is on in Istanbul. So that was a bit of a setback for the Beşiktaş fans that they're already out of that competition.
Yeah, I don't think realistically they're probably going to be thinking
probably not, but they're to dream for at least one more round.
There, yeah, like this is a manager who did, you know, he did pretty well in the back end of the season as far as I can make out in Istanbul. So to see him under pressure so early in the season was surprising. There is something about Stephen Kenny in Europe, and we've seen it countless times before. We saw it on the run that lifted St. Pat's up. It basically made their season last year and saw them in late contention for the title here at home as well. You get on a European run and you're flying. They have the chance. Like, if they get one over on Beşiktaş, if they're in contention in this tie after the first leg, wow. Like, it will be a hell of an achievement. And if the pressure is on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and if the fans start getting on his back, if things aren't going their way in the first 15 minutes, who knows?
That's the thing. And who's the player that's most struck you when you were looking at the squad? Is it Tammy Abraham?
Yeah. Like, for all people might roll their eyes at going, oh, former Chelsea man Tammy Abraham, you're going, yeah, but he's a Premier League calibre, Serie A calibre, Turkish League calibre striker. He's, you know, not these clubs by accident. There's talent there. And there's talent throughout that starting 11 too. So you'd be wary, but, you know, the longer it goes on and the longer it's tight, the more nervy Beşiktaş fans will get.
You do have a roundup of the transfer news that we started the show with, Cameron.
Yeah, so Saudi Pro League Zayed Al-Hilal are understood to have agreed a deal with Liverpool for striker Darwin Nunez today. The Uruguay international had been expected to feature for the Reds in Sunday's Community Shield final against FA Cup winners Crystal Palace. He scored 25 times in 95 Premier League games and helped Liverpool clinch the title last season. Elsewhere then, Nottingham Forest have signed goalkeeper Angus Gunn on a one-year deal. The Scotland international recently left Championship side Norwich at the end of his contract, and Everton have completed the signing of Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall from Chelsea for an undisclosed fee on a 5-year deal. The midfielder made 36 appearances during his one season with the Blues, scoring 5 goals.
Moving on to the rugby then.
Yeah, Ireland kicking coach Gareth Steenson said last weekend's comeback win over Scotland shows they're on the right track ahead of the Rugby World Cup. Scott Beaman's side were 27-21 winners in Cork and played the second of their warm-up games against Canada in Belfast this coming Saturday. Steenson praised the players' composure at Virgin Media Park last time out.
I think at the time, it's like anything, you know, Scotland had games under their belt. It was the first opportunity for the girls to actually play. And I suppose that first little bit, first time back out in a test match, probably not having played for a little bit, it was, you know, I don't want to say feeling their way into the game, but it was like anything, it's, you know, starting, getting back up to match intensity. You know, there's been a lot of months that's gone by since they played. So, but the really good thing for us was they were able to take on board. There was no panic. You know, they stuck to what the plan was, and they put it on the field, which, you know, ultimately, you know, you can see the team grow as they went throughout the game, which is really positive for us as coaches, really positive for the girls as well, that they can take the confidence to know that what they've been doing and working hard at and training, and when they replicate it, you know, they can put it on the field and get the results. So a lot of positives from that, and really quite like pleased how it all unfolded at the end.
John has been in touch to say that Grealish to Everton could be the most Everton signing ever.
Everton would have to cover his wages, I believe, is the story out there, that City would not be paying part of or indeed any of his wages if he does go. Don't rule Everton out of having a half-decent season this season. David Moyes shored them up at the back end of last season. They've got new creativity in there as well. Ndai is still there as well and still a good player. Dewsbury Hall is a very fine player too. They could get Grealish in. They have the means to put together a half-decent season if others ahead of them falter. I don't think they'll be struggling against relegation this time around.
What is the most Everton signing ever? And I'm putting you on the spot there.
Ever. I think re-signing Idrissa Gueye is probably up there because it's like he'd already been there. He's not the most glamorous, but by God, they're glad to have him back.
Yeah, Dele Alli felt inevitable for a period of time.
It's getting United cast-offs, you know, used to be the Everton thing. It could well be the case now. This has gone back to Norman Whiteside, I guess, going there in the late 80s. But if they manage to become the Manchester City cast-off place, then again, actually, that happened as well in the 80s. Everton and Man City used to try a lot of players. Right. Hinchcliffe was one, yeah. Yeah.
That's a big upgrade for them. We move on to Gaelic games, Cameron.
Yeah, so John Cleary will remain as the Cork senior football manager for the next 2 years, the latest county to get their football management business done early in the season. So the Castlehaven club man had an initial 3-year term which expired following the defeat to Dublin in last season's championship. He first took the job on a temporary basis in 2022 before becoming manager on a full-time basis the following year. And All-Ireland champions Tyrone have 7 players in the Football Minor Star Team of the Year. Runners-up Kerry have 6 in the selection, with a player each from Mayo and Roscommon rounding off the team. Peter Colton, whose late penalty helped his side win last month's decider, has picked up the Player of the Year award.
Now, you've got an interesting story from the NFL.
Yeah, so the NFL is banning the use of smelling salts during games, suggesting that they may mask symptoms of concussion among players. The league is introducing a ban on any ammonia inhalants during pre-game activities, games and halftime breaks. The move could have implications for rugby, where smelling salts are commonly used by elite level players. There was that video of Tadhg Byrne at halftime during the first British and Irish Lions test using smelling salts. So it's, apparently it's very commonly used. Alex Gaines uses it too. But it's, if the NFL are stepping in, that could have implications.
Yeah, like I don't know, do the NFL use the same gum shield as the rugby players use at the moment? I don't think they do, so maybe they've got a different way of actually identifying
they
concussion.
Have been pretty proactive, to be fair to them as well, in terms of their treatment of head injuries and CTE. Obviously this is coming in the back of a lot of very, very bad cases of present and former football players. But anything that like leads towards better processes around the treatment of head injuries, like, you don't want to be given a case of, like, that is, smelling salts is just a case of, unless I'm missing something here, it's an upgrade on, I'll just walk it off, you'd be grand, you know. Yeah. I'll just give yourself a little bit of a boost, you know, as soon as you kind of get a little bit of a jolt, you'd be okay. We have to kind of evolve beyond that kind of thinking if we're going to treat head injuries properly.
Yeah, I actually had no idea that they masked symptoms of concussion, to be honest with you. That's new news to me. So interesting to see if rugby actually do something as well. The snooker is next, Cameron.
A new independent association for leading snooker players will give them a stronger voice. That's according to the body's chairman, John Higgins, who believes it could be massive for the growth of the game. The 4-time world champion is a director of the Professional Snooker Players Association. The PSPA has pledged to collaborate with the sports authorities, including the WPBSA, the existing WPSA's player board, and the World Snooker Tour.
And then you're wrapping up on the boxing.
Yeah, Chris Eubanks Jr.'s rematch with Conor Benn is expected to take place at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on November 15th. The British boxing rivals have reportedly completed a deal for a second fight. Eubanks Jr. won the first bout on points at the same venue back in April.
Can it have the same surprise and showbiz factor as the first one? With, you know, the will he or won't he around Chris Sr. turning up. That's gone, obviously, this time around, unless they engineer another falling out, which I wouldn't put it beyond the senior Eubank.
No, come on, boxing. That wouldn't be like that.
I know, yeah. Also, was it that great of a fight the first time around? It seemed to kind of lag a little bit towards the end. I think both fighters are kind of, especially Eubank, kind of hanging on towards the end. I don't know. It's going to be, no doubt it'll sell out, no doubt it'll do well, but I don't know.
Just one other piece of news to give you, which is the Shelburne starting 11 for tonight. So it's Vessel Spiel in goal. It's Sam Bone, Paddy Barrett, Cameron Ledwidge, Milan and Beng across the back, Norris Lunny, Harry Wood, and then it's Meepo and Sean Boyd and Kieran McEnroy in there as well. I've probably called that out in a very inconvenient manner, that starting 11, but that is the confirmed 11. And you've just passed over an image of the cage here. It actually doesn't look too bad. I mean, it's blue skies over there in Central Europe at the moment. It actually looks like quite a nice cage.
But it looks like at some stage you will be throwing raw meat that could have well been intended for the Newcastle barbecue we mentioned at the start.
Yeah, and it looks like also that they're raising a glass there. So, I mean,
there is booze there.
Yeah, okay.
No, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Looking overhead at the blue sky, wondering what it is like to be free.
But a cage is a cage is a cage, and Jesse Ventura is the special guest referee.
Yeah. One other thing is John McGinn looks like he's heading to Newcastle. What do we make of this?
Is he?
I mean, it's.
Let me
just
type
this through. Well, he's been linked to Newcastle
United. Again, saying just after that sales pitch.
It's like, I heard there's a barbecue on. can I come too?
Craig Hope is suggesting that.
Hope
John
says
McGinn,
it. Then, yeah. Mark Guiu has just joined Sunderland on loan from Chelsea as well, which is a very good move. I think, for all concerned, really.
It is all happening. It is all happening 9 days out from the beginning of the Premier League season. Listen, Cameron, thank you for tonight's news round. Richie McCormack, thank you for popping in.
Tom Dunn tonight, 10 till midnight. It's me, not Tom, because he was off Sean earlier on. So any, in for Tom Dunn, in for Sean.
Any spoilers? Any plugs?
No.
Any spoilers?
Spoilers. I'm going to reveal what the players at the Newcastle team barbecue each had to eat. That's coming up after 10. Guess your guess is in. Give us a WhatsApp, 0879180180. What did Sven Botman eat first? What did Fabian Scher have as an aperitif? How many kids did Anthony Gordon have with him? 0879180180.
Find out at 10:05.
You will find out. I'll find out. I'll give the details. I promise, I swear. Absolutely will.
Off the Ball, GAA.
David Clifford is obviously on a different planet. Like, I actually think it's ridiculous that me and him both won the same award. Like, it's ridiculous. he's on a different level.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.